He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen. Amen. It's good to be here. So we are going to talk about those words because those words change the world. Not just the words, but the meaning behind them, the event that took place that brought those words about. So I have heard from others, I've heard that when you have a high-performance car, and that's the part I've only heard about. If you have a high-performance car and you drive it too fast, you push it too hard, that you can actually push it beyond the limits, that the tolerances that it was designed for, and it'll blow the engine. You guys have heard of blowing the engine, right? Anybody ever had that trouble? So you guys are with me on the car thing. Okay, I have heard that if you have like those high-pressure, those helium tanks, right, and you try and fill them too full, or if you have these tanks that are made for great pressures, but if you go beyond those pressures, what happens? Blow a gasket, right? Or you blow a valve, or you blow up, you know, something blows up. I've also heard this, and this is, again, this is merely hearsay, that if you have a finely tuned body, that's where it's hearsay, and you push that to its limit, then you can blow something out too, right? So you hear people blowing out their knees, right? Or they blow out, like they blow out a disc, or they, and we kind of, maybe more of us have experienced that one, maybe in some ways too. But have you ever, if like me, you haven't actually experienced those things, have you, maybe you've experienced this thing, where you see something, or you hear something, or you find something to be true, and it exceeds kind of the framework that you had in your mind about what's real. Right? And so we talk about people blowing their minds, right? Well, we're going to talk about that today because I think that happens more often than we think. You guys don't remember it, but have you ever been there when a baby, their arms are kind of flailing like this, and all of a sudden it like stops one of them and they go, it's like, oh, wait a second, right? That's me. So I'm the one who keeps hitting me in the head. Right, and so from that moment on, all of a sudden, everything has to shift because they have to rethink the whole world to now include these two arms, and they gotta go, I gotta be more careful about this, right? And the rest of our lives, we're figuring out what those things are made to do. I don't know if you guys have had this experience. You may not remember it, but I know you've had this experience, but you may not remember it, but the day that all those squiggly lines that you saw in your world, you open up a book and it's filled with these lines, and you're going, I don't know what that means. Right? People open these things and they tell stories. And so kids will open the book up and they'll make up a story because they figure that's what we do. But all of a sudden, the day that you figure out, oh, wait a second. All those lines, they're called letters, and they are associated with sounds, and those sounds make words, and those words have meaning. And those meanings communicate things. And all of a sudden, the mind has to shift. You have to kind of step back and recalculate the whole world to include things like letters and like reading and like books. And communication. You know, we've all had these experiences. We've all know that in our world, we have these discoveries that they found, different things that have really just changed everything. There are new inventions. You know, most of us carry around a smartphone. And you think about the fact that we have in our pocket, we have a computer that's more powerful than the computer that ran the moon mission, that got a person to the moon. We have a computer in our pocket that can, we can call somebody halfway around the world and see them on the screen. And you're going, how in the world? That changes everything, doesn't it? We think about the things that they've discovered, the day that they figured out that the Earth was not the center of the universe. But that the sun, that everything revolved around the sun, and then we found out that we were just this little small speck. The day that personally you found out, and this may have been a while ago, I hope you guys have all found this out, is troubling when we do, but we found out that we're not the center of the universe, right? That other people have their own lives, and they don't look at us to try and figure out how to calculate their lives based on us. That's a shocking day. All of a sudden, we have to recalculate everything because daily, regularly, we have these times that just change everything. Easter morning was that. Easter morning was that when Mary, it says Mary and the other Mary, and there were other women that were mentioned. These women came down to the tomb to, because they hadn't had time on Good Friday. They hadn't had time to rightly prepare the body. So they were going to come down to see if there was a way to prepare the body to finish off what they had started. And they come down and the stones rolled away. The stones rolled away, and they hear these words that he's not there. And that changed everything, right? And we think about it and we think, well, may, you know, the angel, man, that would have shocked them, right? No, they had heard about angels. That wasn't the big deal. Mary had even seen an angel, right? When God was telling her, you're gonna have the Son of God, you're gonna have this baby and name him Jesus, she saw an angel. She knew about angels. That wasn't the thing that blew her world open. It wasn't even the open tomb. You know, if you read the account in the book of John, it says that when she first looked at the open tomb, she says, oh no, they've taken the body. You know, maybe Joseph of Arimathea, it was his tomb, and he had just kind of lent it to him. Well, maybe he needed it for something, right? So he had him move the body somewhere else. And she goes, where have they put his body? That wasn't what blew her mind. What blew her mind was when she saw that angel sitting on the stone, and he said, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. Because he is risen. He is risen. You're going, risen, right? She had no categories for that. In fact, it says that when the disciples came and were looking for it, it says they didn't understand that the scripture said that Jesus had to rise again. They didn't understand any of that. They're coming down there, and all of a sudden, their whole world, their whole structure, everything they thought was possible, everything that they thought this world could happen in this world, all of a sudden, it was changed. Because of those words, because of seeing all those things in light of those words, and they knew that their mind had just been, the frameworks, they had just been taken down. It was time to rebuild, recalculate, refigure this life with that new information. Imagine hearing those words, right, for the first time. I mean, we say those words pretty casually, don't we? And I say, he is risen, and you guys say, and we go, indeed? Really? Indeed? He's risen indeed? I mean, think about hearing those words for the first time where you're standing, they're standing at this open doorway to this cave that had been hollowed out. It was made a place where you laid the body after it was done and, you know, for burial. And they're standing at the open door of this, and they're hearing these words for the first time. This door of this grave where they knew just days before, they knew, they had seen it. It held the body of the best friend they had ever had. The most amazing teacher they had ever heard. The person who had changed their lives. The person they had followed for 3.5 years because of just the connection, the love that they felt from him, what they had learned about themselves and about their world. And here was this person, this one who they had counted on. They thought this was the Messiah. This was God's anointed. This was God's new king. He was coming to deliver them. And they're there at this grave, and they're standing there knowing that just days before, they had watched him. He had said, you know, this was something, they had seen the miracles. They had seen him raise others from the dead, but they had also seen those nails that had to be pulled, yanked. I mean, you guys, those were spikes, and they're in wood. Taking him down from the cross was not a pretty or an easy thing, and they had watched it. They had watched him. They'd seen the gash in his side where the spear had gone in. They saw his body that was that ashen gray color where there's no more life there. They saw the centurion who did many, many crucifixions come and make sure, just confirm the fact that he was dead. He said, nah, he's dead. And that's why they gave him the body. They took it down. They laid him in the tomb. They rolled the stone in front of it. They knew that he had been there. Just days before, and you're standing at this open grave, and this blazing being is telling you, no, he's not here. He's risen. Can you imagine being, you know, that's why they ran from that tomb, and it says that they were terrified, and they were full of joy. I mean, those two together, both of them, all at once, all together, because it's like terrified. What is this? Everything had come apart. What does this mean? Can you imagine saying those words for the first time? They found his disciples and they said, what's up? And they said, how do I say this, right? He's risen, right? He's risen. Can you imagine they're going, did I really just see that? Did I really just hear that? Do I really believe that? I mean, I heard of an angel. I've never seen that kind of being. We've heard about them maybe, or I've seen him once, but said he's really? And I got to go pass this message on. He's risen. And it changes everything. It says in the other Gospels, it says that originally the disciples didn't believe him. They're like, that can't be true. They thought they were talking nonsense because nobody had categories for that. And yet those words are the words that changed their lives. The only thing that made things make sense was when Jesus actually showed up and they saw him. They saw that he still had the holes. He still had that scar, but it was different. Something different about this one. He'd like show up and then he'd like, at times, just kind of vanish from their sight. There was something really different, but the same. They recognized him. They knew him, but he was risen. Death couldn't touch him anymore. That changed everything. And because of that experience, where not just their minds, but their whole lives had been blown apart and rebuilt around this one truth that changed everything. Those became the words that got handed down generation after generation after generation, all the way down to us, where now we say he's risen. He's risen indeed. He is risen. Amen? What does that mean for us? Well, it means, you know, one of the things, it means the obvious. It means the obvious. Obviously, this wasn't a normal guy, right? Nobody else in history had ever died and come back to life on their own authority. Jesus had raised others from the dead, but nobody had ever raised themselves from the dead. Just came walking out of the tomb on their own authority. Nobody else had come out with a body that would never die again. Like I said, Jesus had raised others, but they went on to live out their lives and they passed away, same as all of us do. But no one had come out with a body that couldn't be touched, a body that was the same but was different because it was resurrected. It had gone through death and triumphed over death. Nobody had done that. No one had gathered on a mountaintop and then been, it says he ascended into heaven. And you go, what does that even mean? It's not like he just went up into the stars. It's like he went from here into, I mean, it's like he between places, between this realm, this world, and God's world. And he became that, all of a sudden, he's that bridge, that way between those two. Nobody had ever done that before. So obviously, this wasn't just a normal guy because of that. Because he's not just a normal guy, he seems to be something much, much more. It makes sense to us, like it did those early believers. It makes sense then, we probably should listen to what he had to say. His death and resurrection, it confirmed that we ought to listen to what he had to say. He was obviously somebody worth listening to. What he had to say about God, he seemed to know a lot more about God on a personal level than anybody else had before. He seemed to know more about us, who we are, what we are made for. He seemed to know more about God's heart for us. That this God loved us. He pursues us. He even is willing to lay down his own life if that's what it takes to make the way for us to come back and enter a relationship with him. So we ought to listen to what he has to say, what he has to say about how we treat each other. About how he says, you know what, you need to learn how to love each other. You need to learn how to care for each other. You need to learn how to forgive each other. Forgive each other quickly so that you can get on to this life that God has for you instead of tying each other up in the mess that we have. Here was Jesus who raised from the dead. What he had to say about pursuing the things of God's eternal life instead of wasting our time pursuing the things of this temporary world. But I got to tell you, every Easter I feel the pressure, and it doesn't come from any of you necessarily, but there's this pressure out there, because I think what most of us want Easter to mean is that somehow Jesus rising from the dead means that we will never face hard times again, right? You want me to say that because Jesus has the power to rise from the dead, he will fix everything that goes on in your life, and you'll never struggle again. But we look at his own words, at this man, what he went through his life, and then what he said to his followers, and that doesn't seem to be the message. Because he actually turns to his disciples, he says, what? He says, follow me. But he says, take up your cross and follow me. The cross was never a good thing back in these days. If you took up a cross, you're going to a crucifixion, and yet Jesus says, no, take up your cross and follow after me the same way that I've taken up my cross. He says we had to learn how to die to the world, die to ourselves, die to all these pursuits and false kind of empty ambitions that we often have. He said, you know what? In this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have challenges. He said, so that's what you'll find in this world, but have hope in the midst of it. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Because he's risen. He's overcome it. And he says, I've laid out that path. I've walked the path, and I am the way. I am the path. And so follow me. Follow me. Lean on me when you hit those trials. Lean into me. Learn to trust in me when you hit those trials. Because the trials, the struggles, the challenges, they're going to be there. How many of you guys know Jesus and yet you still run into stuff that you're just going, really, still, really? Right? Anybody else? Or is that just, okay, because I was worried. If it's just me, then I gotta let somebody else preach probably. But here's Jesus who says, you know what? You're going to still run into this stuff. The only way to resurrection, you don't resurrect unless there's a death involved, right? The only way to eternity is, it seems to be through the struggle, not around it, not above it, not getting snatched out of it. Now, God does. He's gracious, man. It says he doesn't let us be tested beyond what we're able. It says that he doesn't leave us in it alone. In fact, what he says is the main gift that he gives us is not that we'll be snatched out of it, but that he promises he walks through it with us. So we're not by ourselves. The gift of Easter, the hope of Easter, is not that the world changed because Jesus rose from the dead. The world didn't change. Instead, it's that because of the message that we've heard, that he is risen. He's gone through it. Because of the reality of the person who rose from the dead, who says he will walk with us. Because of what Ephesians 1 says, that it says that the very power that raised him from the dead is also now poured out, operating, working within us. Because of that, even though the world hasn't changed, that he's changed us so that we go through this world very different. Because he's risen. And he said, follow me. Follow me. Have a hope, not that I will take all of this away from, not because of the circumstances of the path. Have hope because of the one who walks this path with you. Have hope because of the one who knows the path that you're on. Have hope because of the one who blazed this path before you. Because he's risen. Amen? Last week, we saw that hope can be obscured when we put our hope in the wrong things. We have an agenda. We try and get God to fit into it, but that never leads to anything good. Never. We try and make him an earthly king, and he doesn't want any part of it because he knows where hope is found. It says hope this Easter is because Jesus is risen. Hope is found because he is with us. Hope is found because he has poured out his very life. You know, there's this great line in Ephesians where it says, you know, that he is, or in Philippians where it says, has he not shared with us? And that word shared, it means, has he not shared like everything with us? And these people that were reading it, it was like, yeah, he's given us his very life. His spirit to live within us. Has he not shared with us? So have hope because he's with you. He walks with you, he goes before you. So this morning, we have hope because God is, he's blown the frameworks all apart because he's risen. He's blown, we can't understand what that means. But we go into a life, we hear those words and we go, okay, I gotta reframe. And he says, you know what? God says, I need to rebuild you. I need to reframe you. I need to teach you how to think so that you can even take in the world for all of its breadth because of this one reality that when those women got to the tomb was empty and he wasn't there because he had gone through death and he was risen. He says, and just like he is risen, he says, I will raise you up. I will raise you up. I'm building a new world of resurrection, a new world that I need to prepare you for it. So have hope because he is risen. Amen? You guys, I'm going to give you a couple of things to do. Before I do that, though, I'm going to ask that if, because we're going to celebrate baptism right after we're done here. And we have four this morning that are going to be baptized. And so those who are being baptized, if you need to get ready, now's the time to kind of ditch out and get ready, however you need to do that. And we're going to watch some testimonies of those up here after I'm done. So we're going to be celebrating in that. And so this morning, I want to give you a couple of things to think about and a couple of things to do. The first is this. Baptism is one of the greatest celebrations that we get to participate in as the people of God, because in it, God has given us this chance to like come together and one, to express what he's done. And the other is to watch and almost like get a glimpse of that moment when that person was they died and they were resurrected in Christ. That in his death, we're brought through death. And in his life, we're brought into his life. And so we have the opportunity to see that, to watch that, to celebrate that. And so this becomes an important, one of the greatest celebrations that we can share together. And so think about that as we're watching these, as we're hearing the testimonies about how God has changed their lives, about how God has met them where they are, about how they have come to know the one who said, you know, he is risen and he has called them into that resurrection. But the second thing I want you guys to think about, and I want you to do, early believers, when they saw that empty grave, like I said, you know, they shifted. They were used to worshiping on Saturday, and they shifted to Sunday morning. And they worshiped to Sunday morning because that's when they had gone to the grave. And so every Sunday, they would commemorate that. And why would they do that? Well, because they knew that if they didn't keep reminding each other that he was risen, we go through our world, and how many of you guys go through your week? By the end of the week, you're going to forget, oh yeah, Jesus, you know, you have to almost come back to be reminded, oh yeah, Jesus, he's still risen, right? Because otherwise, you kind of, it trails off. You get lost in your work, you get lost in, you know, whatever, you get in a fight with somebody, you know, maybe it's your spouse, and you're just kind of in this argument, and it gets lost in there, and it gets lost in, maybe you have you're kind of at odds with your neighbor who borrowed your hoe and never gave it back, you know, something like that, or, you know, he still has your lawnmower in his shed, you know, something like that. You have these things, and you lose the fact that he has risen, and they had it too, and they knew if they didn't come back together every week and remind each other on the day, on that time, that first day of the week, and that early, they come together and they say, remember, he's risen. That changes everything. But they'd lose it, and we will too. And I want you guys to think about that, because some of you guys are walking with Jesus, you know him. But we're not coming together sometimes enough. Sometimes we're like gone for like weeks at a time, months at a time. And all of a sudden we drop back in and we go, oh yeah, I remember this thing. I remember. Yeah, I got to remember. Because it's important. It changes everything, doesn't it? So one of the things is if you know Jesus, if you have heard that message and you have heard that call and you've said, you know what? I believe that these eyewitnesses, that they weren't lying to me. This message that got passed down, it wasn't twisted. There was a man who lived, who rose from the dead, and that means he's very different than most of us. He said he was the Son of God, and that means I should probably listen to him. If you've given your life to him, given your life to that, then I want to encourage you guys. We need to get together. You need the encouragement of others, and they need encouragement from you to remember that he is risen. Because I shouldn't be the only one up here saying he is risen. You guys should be turning to each other and say, don't forget. That's where it starts, isn't it? The tomb was empty. He's risen. So I want you guys to think about that. We should be, I want to challenge you this year to think about be somewhere where the people of God are every first day of the week. Because you need to be reminded, and they need to be reminded by you that he's risen. Second thing, some of you guys, you're like, okay, I'm not sure about this Jesus guy. Well, if you want to find out about him, a good place to show up too is with people that believe that he is risen. Ask him questions. Why do you believe that they were telling the truth? Why do you believe this actually happened? What is it that convinced you? Was it an experience that you had? Because, yeah, there are those. Jesus shows up in our life. Was it the reality of the truth that you found in history? Yeah, because there's that. But I want to challenge you. Ask the questions. Find out about this Jesus. Find out about this Jesus by being with the people that have chosen to follow him, to take up the cross, to go through this world knowing that the world doesn't change. But he's with us because what? He's risen. He's risen. He's risen. I want you to think about it. He is risen. Amen. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time that you've given to us to, not just the time you've given us, but God, you stepped down into this world. That's an amazing thing. That you would come into this world, that you would live among us, and that you would walk out the life of what it means to live in faith of a reality that's beyond what you see and what you touch and what people say are the limits. You knew how to live that, Jesus, and you lived it out in front of us. And you knew how to then even walk into the hardest time that we can imagine, that place where it seems that everything ends, that everything is brought to an end and we're cut off from everything. You walked right into it because you knew you would be brought through to the other side. And because of that, Lord, we can follow you. You knew how to live in faith. You knew how to live in a love for others. You knew how to live in a grace that you're teaching us now. You're rebuilding us how to live in light of the reality as it truly exists because we live in the reality of seeing and knowing and believing that you've risen. So thank you. Thank you for the gift of Easter. Thank you for the gift of the message. Thank you for the gift of the reality of that. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of your presence with us in our lives and in this world. Thank you for the gift that this is going to be too, to participate and to celebrate with those who are being baptized, to testify that you are risen, that they do know you, that you have found them and called them. So Father, we ask that your spirit would fill this place with joy, celebration. As we hear the stories, as we again, they just confirm you have risen from the dead. Jesus, we exalt you. Father, we give you glory by the power of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.